Okay, here we go. Our second Mishnah of the Zman. Phones away, please. We're on Tes Amud Aleph. A Labor Day little sugya. We'll see how much time we have, what we can get through over here. The Mishnah says, Sukkah Yishana, an old sukkah. Bishamai Poislin, Bishamai says that type of sukkah is pasul. Bisul Machshirin, Bisul says that type of sukkah is kasher. So, according to Beisol, it seems like you don't really need to ask this question. This is only a question according to Beishamai. According to Beishamai, who holds that there's a problem of sukkah yishana and old sukkah, what exactly is a sukkah yishana? Like, what does that mean? Answer: the Mishnah Kol Shasa Koydem Mechag Shleishim Yoyim. A sukkah that was made, the way to read this in the Mishnah is, before the 30 days before the Chag. The 30 days before a Chag has a special status. Rashi says because they used to learn the halachas of Chag, Koydem Chag Shloshim Yom, maybe you've learned that Gemara before. That's so the 30 days before a Yom Tov, certainly before Pesach and Sukkot, Shailuf is it applies to Shavuos, because there's three regalim, you know, the Chagim, right? Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. There aren't so many halachas of cheesecake, really, you know? So Shavuos doesn't have that many halachas to learn, that you take 30 days before Shavuos to learn, but Pesach and Sukkah certainly do. So those 30 days have apparently a special status to them. People are learning the halachas of those times. So if it was made before those 30 days, then according to Bishamai, that's what's called a Sukkah Yishana. But if it was made for the purpose of Sukkot, for the mitzvah of Sukkah and Sukkot, afilu mitchilas shana cheira, then even from the beginning of the year it's fine. So wait a second. So the Mishnah is saying it really has nothing to do with the Zman. It's not really an issue of time. It's really an issue of what?
Perfect mindset.
Right. An intention. In Kavana. That's really the problem. So Rashi fleshes this out somewhat clearly. That if a person, according to Beishamai now, according to Beishalel, it doesn't seem to matter, right? We'll discuss in a second. It seems like, according to Beishamai, so the issue is, let's say that you built a sukkah. For what purpose? I don't know, for your animals, you know? Not for the purpose of sukkah. You want to eat for the mitzvah. You want, what we talked about before. Remember, there's royin and shepherds and all kinds of things, and people have all these kinds of huts, give them shade and whatnot. So that sounds like it's no good, right? But and if it's within 30 days, it is good. So what's the story? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, Sukkah Yishana, Ked Mefarish, Shasak Kodem Lechag, Shleishim Yoyim, that he made it more than 30 days before Sukkot, v'loy pirish filin shem chag, and he didn't explicitly say or think or something, whatever necessary, that is for the purpose of chag. V'shamay poislin, debo sukkah lishma, because it requires sukkah to be for the purpose of the mitzvah of sukkah. V'zus stam nasis, and this one was made what's called stam. How would you translate the word stam? Yeah, like without any particular kavana. There was no explicit kavana for the purpose of chag that was spelled out. Ve'ilu toich shleishim lechag hava kevan deshoilin behilchas achag. So if it had been made within the 30 days of Sukkot, so then what changes? In other words, if it's made with a bad kavana, what's a bad kavana? Is not for the sake of sukkah, right? So then Beis Shammai would say, that's called sukkah yishana. I mean, maybe even within 30 days? Sukkah yishana does not seem, like we just said, right? Now what we just spelled out, it doesn't seem to be an issue in time, right? It seems to be an issue in, what do we call it? Intention, kavana. So who cares about 30 days? So, if you look at Rashi, you'll notice that Rashi keeps focusing on a sukkah that's stam. If a sukkah is built with no particular reason in mind, you built a sukkah, and, you know, whatever, you know, it's there in case you need it or something like that, but with no particular kavana in mind, that's when it makes a difference if it's within 30 days or not. Because within 30 days, because it's already, you know, getting close to sukkah's time, I don't know, people are already learning a sukkah, those 30 days apparently are a special time where we interpret any sukkah built to be built for the purpose of sukkah, unless it was like explicitly otherwise. then maybe you're right. Maybe if it was explicitly for a different reason, you're right. It would be no good. But if it was stam, then we interpret it to be for the purpose of sukkah, since everyone's already focused on sukkah anyway. That's what Rashi seems to say. They were caving the shoylem hilchas chag kodem chag shloishim yoyim stam ha'oisa l'shem chag ha'oisa. So if a person makes it stam, he's making it for the purpose of chag. Aval kodem shloishim, but if it's before 30 days, stama lav l'chag. And if it's built for no particular reason, then that particular reason is not interpreted as for the purpose of chag. Good. So Bishama is saying that it's really a problem in intention. Because Beisil doesn't require this idea of lishma at all. So for them, it's not a problem at all. Avlamas l'shem chag, says the Mishnah, the last line is, if a person made it l'shem chag, so then it doesn't make a difference how old it is, even if it's mitchilas hashana, kshera. So even if it's from the beginning of the year, it's kasher. What if it's 2 years before?
It's unclear, but it's like a...
Does that matter?
Yeah. I feel like that does matter.
So that's an interesting question. So
you
Adam...
Well, technically, you can't have a shama because this shama...
What?
The year started. What? If you build it on time, once you go up, and then you leave it off for the next
sukkah. Yeah. Or does that matter?
No, that's interesting. I mean, it couldn't be the beginning... You couldn't have known it within the beginning of the year. Because the beginning of the year was not 30 days ago.
Well, let's say that you built it, you know, like let's say right now. What better time? Come on, we're all Jewish here. What better time to get a sukkah on sale than now? You know, like everyone's got this like extra stuff. I mean, I don't know how much it really is true anymore nowadays. People put it away till the next year. But theoretically, now is the best time to buy a sukkah because they all theoretically should be on sale. So you buy it now and you put it up. You put it up.
That's not the beginning of the year.
It's not?
The beginning of the year is the beginning of the year. It's Rosh Hashanah. Which is not but 30 days before.
What?
Rosh Hashanah is not 30 days before.
Right, because it's way less.
Exactly.
But what? It's 2 weeks before Sukkot, right?
No, exactly. So therefore, it was always going to be within 30 days.
No, so therefore, that can't be what it means.
Can't be what
right, so it has to be the previous Sukkot, right? That's a year before. Must
well, why would it be a previous Sukkot? Rosh Hashanah does not mean...
Right, so what the line in the Mishnah means is it doesn't make a difference how long ago you did it as long as it was l'shem chag. So you know, it sounds like you're a betting man, right? It sounds like if you built this sukkah once in your life and you leave it like that for the rest of eternity, so as long as it was built the first time for the purpose of sukkah, it sounds like you're fine.
So
you don't have to rebuild it every year. Yeah, or for the rest of your life, you know. But as long as it was built for one sukkah, for 1 year, so then it is built l'shem chag. It doesn't have to be kavana for the next 5 years. One time. But then you leave it up. What's the problem? What's wrong with that?
Does anyone ever do that? Do you know anyone did that?
No, they usually collapse in the snow and stuff, you know. One time we had a sukkah, we were too lazy to take it down, and it snowed in sukkah. You know? Oh, we gotta get this thing down, you know. But in any case, so that's what it sounds like. Would Beis Hillel say that there's a problem if there was a negative kavana? We just finished saying that there is a concept of a sukkah as long as it's made for the purpose of shade, you're good to go. We finished saying that, right? So it does sound like Beis Shammai may disagree with all that, but Beis Hillel at least would agree to that. So according to Beis Hillel, which is the way we're going to end up asking, right? So it should end up that you don't require lishma. And there's no problem if a person did it even for another reason, as long as it's on some level, not like a storehouse or something. In other words, there was, we'll see later on as we go, especially the time of year, Sukkot was the time of year that everyone would start to bring in everything from outside, remember? Because they wanted it to dry out in the sun, and now it's going to be the rainy season. So all the stuff that's left, whatever the last things that you're drying out are, you got to finish it up. So they used to dry out hay and all kinds of things also. So if you want to dry out your hay, you don't want them to be absorbing moisture from the ground. You're going to put them on something else. So it apparently did happen that people used to have these platforms or raised up areas where they would stack up all kinds of hay and things like that that you could theoretically use for schach. But that's not stacked for the purpose of shade. That's stacked for the purpose of drying it out. So that's not made even for the purpose of shade, that sukkah that you just built. But you can picture it, right? Imagine you just pile up haystacks on each other and with enough room inside that you can go into. So that if it's really just piled to dry out, that's really going to be a problem, no? So that would be a problem. But as long as it's made for the purpose of shade, so then it sounds like we don't really care what the reason you did it for, but that's going to be good. So the Gemara says, my time is the Beis Shammai. What is the reason Beis Shammai holds there's a problem of sukkah yishana? What's this problem of kavana? Amar kara, so they say the pasuk says, chag sukkah shivas yamim l'Hashem. So this is going to be, you know, an interesting drusha. We're not talking pasuk shad and the psukim over here. There's no pasuk that ever says that you have to have kavana, you know, for the sukkah or whatever. What the pasuk does say is the holiday of Sukkos is 7 days for Hashem. So, well, what does it mean 7 days for Hashem? What's 7 days for Hashem? The sukkah is 7 days? The sukkah? The holiday? The korban chag mibin chagiga? Like, what do you mean 7 days? So first of all, there's no Isra Malacha for 7 days. So if someone would like to suggest that it means you have a holiday for God for 7 days, meaning you're not working or something, you're not doing Malacha for 7 days, well, that's not really true. Now, you'll say, well, but Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do all Malachos. So Chol HaMoed is sort of like Yom Tov. It's the Chol of Moed, after all, not Chol. So, you know, see, so you have a little bit of a point. But it seems like it's not that the holiday is a 7 day holiday. And what do you need to say? It's like the sukkah is 7 days for Hashem. So what exactly is going on? So Beis Shammai's interpretation is the sukkah, it's like sukkos shivas yamim l'Hashem. Sukkah ha'asuya l'shem chag bo'inan. The sukkah has to be l'Hashem. For the purpose of Hashem. That the kavana in this chag ha'sukkos, which includes the physical structure that you made, has to be l'Hashem. Beis Hillel, that means, and Beis Hillel, question mark, what's Beis Hillel going to do with that pasuk? Ah, you're busted, Beis Hillel. The answer, hahu, that pasuk, mivayile, is needed for them, the kedir Rav Sheshes, for what Rav Sheshes said, a halacha of Rav Sheshes. Why, what did Rav Sheshes say? The Amr Rav Sheshes, mishum Rabbi Akiva, which is said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, minayin, from where do you know, la'atzei sukkah, the wood of the sukkah, shasurin kol shivas, asur all 7 days. Tamalomer chag of sukkah shivas yamim l'Hashem. This chag of sukkos is 7 days l'Hashem. What do you mean? V'tanya, we learn in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Omer ben Beseira says, kishem shechal shem shemayim ala chagiga. Just like there is a falling chal, there is a resting of shem shemayim, of the name of heaven on a chagiga, on the korban chagiga, kach chal shem shamayim al hasukkah. So too, there's a resting of the name of heaven on the sukkah. Shenemar chag hasukkah shivas yamim l'Hashem. The chag of sukkahs is 7 days for Hashem. Ma chag l'Hashem, just like the chag, meaning the chagiga is l'Hashem, av sukkah l'Hashem, so too the sukkah is l'Hashem. Wow, this requires a lot of explanation. What in the world just happened over here? So let's break it down. So Beis Hillel says, I don't agree with you that the sukkah has to be for the sake of Hashem, meaning that it has to be lishma, because we learn a different halacha. What's the halacha? Namely, that you're not allowed to use the wood from the sukkah. What wood from the sukkah? According to most Rishonim, just means the schach. There's a sticky Rambam over here where it may imply walls also, but we'll keep pashup shat. It means the schach. That the schach, you're not allowed to use for other purposes. Good? So it means, l'Hashem means, it's like muksa. It's huksa l'mitzvasa, that is designated for the purpose of your schach. So you can't like sit there, or you're, you know, has it ever happened to you? On sukkah, you're supposed to eat meat, drink wine, you know what I mean? You're thinking with me? Some good meat, some wine. So the problem is, meat gets stuck in your teeth. So what do? No problem, get a toothpick. You add a toothpicks. Yeah, but you got schach. You know, perfect. So you're not allowed to just break off a piece of schach and use it as a toothpick. It's hooks and limits vasa. You have to leave it alone. You have to leave your schach as schach. You can't use it for your own personal uses. In fact, there's a whole issue with the decorations as well. Because once you tie your decorations to your schach, it could be that the decorations also become hooks and limits vasa. So unless a person actually made a condition ahead of time, so you're not allowed to, you know, to use those decorations for other reasons. Okay, so whatever it is. So that's what the Gemara says. Beis Hillel says this pasuk is not telling us that the sukkah has to be for Hashem in your kavana. It's telling us that the sukkah, i.e., the schach, has to be only used for schach, meaning la Hashem. Now, how did you get to there? How does the Gemara say all this? It says, let's go through it again. Because Rishayisha said the name of Rabbi Akiva. How do you know the atzei sukkah are aser kol shiva? What do you mean the aser kol shiva? Meaning they have to be reserved for just schach. Can't use them for other reasons. The way you know that is Tama lomar chag asukah shivas yomim la Hashem. Because it says chag, which means the holiday we thought, right? But now we're going to interpret that as the chagiga. There's something called a korban chagiga that you bring. We'll discuss, hopefully see the rashi, right? There's a chagiga. And the chagiga is la Hashem, to a certain extent. And sukos are also shivas yomim la Hashem, are also la Hashem. How do you see that? That's from the following braisa. V'tanya Rehuda ben Beser Omer, Chishen, just like Chal Shem Shamayim ala Chagiga, the name of heaven rests on a Chagiga, meaning that this Chagiga at a certain stage of the game is reserved for Hashem, you're not allowed to use it. So too, Chal Shem Shamayim ala Sukkah, the name of heaven is resting on the Sukkah, meaning the Schach, you're not allowed to use it. Shneimar, as from our pasuk, Chagasukah Shavuzam Hashem, Machag Hashem, just like Chagiga is reserved for Hashem's use and not yours. Avsukah Hashem, so Sukkah also to the Schach has to be for Hashem's use, so to speak, the Schach, and not for you. So let's flesh this out a little bit more. What's going on with the Korban Chagiga? So you see Rashi, the second Rashi on the Gemara, it says Al HaChagiga. Let's learn a little kachin. Shalmei Chagiga. What is a Korban Chagiga? Every time a person came to the Beis HaMikdash to celebrate the holiday, he has to bring a holiday offering. That's called a Korban Chagiga. A Chag offering, a Korban Chagiga. Korban Chagiga was what type of Korban? Anyone take a guess? You basically have two choices, right? It could be an Oila or a Shlamim. An Oila means it's completely burned up. It's Ola. It makes Aliyah, the best form of Aliyah, Tashem. And or a shlamim. Shlamim is shalom. It's shlamim. It's shalim. It's shalom because the Kohen gets a piece and Hashem gets a piece and you get a piece and everybody's happy. It's Korban shlamim. So the Chagiga, I'll take a guess. Oila or shlamim? Shlamim?
Oila.
Oila? So Rashi writes, Shalmei Chagiga. The Shalmei, the Korban shlamim. The Shalmei Chagiga. Shem Shemayim Chalaleim. The name of heaven rests upon them, la'osran, to prohibit them, bihana. You're not allowed to use it for anything else. Ad la'achar haktaras imrin. Until after the haktara. Haktara is the same word as kitores. But haktara literally means, you know, burning it on the altar, burning it on his way. Haktara. Sacrificing it. So, ad la'achar haktaras imrin. Until it's prohibited in Hana, until after the burning of the Imurin. Anyone want to take a guess? You know, or maybe you know, Imurin? It means the kishkes, the insides. Those parts of the inside of the animal that went on the Mizbeach. The Zachu Bahu Basar Hakim Mishulchan Gavoya. Because the way we view the eating of the Korban Chagiga, one could have looked at it in two ways. One way you could have looked at it was, okay, there are certain parts that I'm giving to Hashem. And certain parts that are for me and for the Kohanim. And that's the way it is from the beginning. From the time that I shecht it, there are certain parts that are mine. So it's not like Hashem has to give them to me. They're mine. The other way to look at it is, the entire Korban belongs to Hashem. You're makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash. You're makdish it to Hashem. At a certain point, Hashem says, would you like a piece? And then you can take your portion. So which one's correct? The answer is the last one, the latter one, the second one. That's the way Rashi writes it is, Zachu bahu basar hachi, that you merit it after haktaras imurin, after the insides are burnt on the mizbeach, you merit your portion after that mishulchan gavoya. How do you translate that? Shulchan gavoya?
Table.
Yeah, the table on high. You know, Hashem's table, so to speak. Ke'eved hanoitel pras, like a slave that receives a portion. So it's not shy that when you bring your Korban Chagiga, we should all be zeicher to bring a Korban Chagiga, that when you bring your Korban Chagiga, it's not shot that, you know, you get the leg, you know, the leg's yours. That's my point. No, it's Hashem's. Once the insides, Hashem's portion, in other words, once Hashem's portion gets burnt on the Mizbeach, Then Hashem, as so to speak, says, okay, you want a piece? Take this piece. This piece is for you. But you're getting it from Shulchan Gavoya. Who cares how you look at it? Oh, huge nafkamina halacha. Because until the point that those insides are burnt on the Mizbeach, all the parts of that korban are aser behanoah, are totally prohibited to get any benefit from. So if a person gets personal benefit from that korban before the imurin go on the Mizbeach, he violates an Isra Me'ilah. He violates a serious prohibition of benefiting from korbanos, from things that belong to Beis HaMikdash B'Hashem. Good? So that's the idea that's behind the scenes in this Gemara, that the korban chagiga is la Hashem. The Shem Shamayim, the Schalan HaChagiga, means that when you bring your Korban HaChagiga, it belongs to Hashem. Now, not always, because your portion does come to you after the Haktara Seimurim. But at a certain point, the HaChagiga does belong Kulo LaHashem. Okay. So just like the Korban HaChagiga, said the Gemara, is Huksa, is Shem Shamayim is Chal on it, so too, the Shach is Shem Shamayim is Chal on it. Now, it's a little different, right? It doesn't mean that the schach is some sort of korban Hashem and that we get a portion of it. You know, I mean, it's a little bit of a different idea. But the point is that the connection between chag hasukos is telling you that just like chagiga has that halacha, that it's huksa, it belongs to Hashem, and you don't get anything unless He gives it to you. So to the sukkah is huksa, exactly the same way to Hashem, but is hooks in the mitzvah, so is set aside for its mitzvah, and we don't really get a portion, we just get to sit in it. So that means it's set aside, Shem Shamayim is chal on it. Now, just pause parenthetically for a minute. If you want to transpose this into a machshava idea, see, it is a fascinating thing, because we know that there's a machlokas about the schach. If it represents the sukkah's mamish, like the physical hatzah we have, or represents what? What's the other possibility? Is it actually the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, by the way? What does it represent? What does the schach represent? The what? The Anani HaKavod. What are the Anani HaKavod exactly?
The clouds that surround
the Nixo. Yeah, so that's like Hashem's clouds that He's like sharing with us, you know? So when we say that the schach has Shem Shamayim that's chal on it, so if the schach really represents the sukkah's mamish physical huts we had, so okay, I don't know, you gotta see another chat. But if it's the Anani HaKavod, so wait a minute. Now it's a little bit similar to the idea of the Korban Chagiga. These are Hashem's clouds. We're given the privilege to be able to have a certain portion in that we're allowed to sit in it and envelop ourselves in the Anani HaKavod and sukkahs. But those clouds are Hashem's clouds. So in Machshava, there's definitely what to talk about to tie this halacha into the world of Machshava as well. But in any case, what happened in the Gemara? Beishamai says, Pasuk is Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yamim LaHashem. That means that when you build your sukkah, it has to be LaHashem. You better have in mind that that's for the purpose of sukkah. Beishamai says, no, totally different idea. It means to say that just like a Chag, a Korban Chagiga, is Huksel Mitzvasa, it's Asr Behanah, so too, your sukkah, meaning the schach, is asr behana. It doesn't have to be that it was made l'shem sukkah. It just means it's asr behana. That's all. So now we're up to the line that says sukkah l'Hashem, and then it says ubei shamai. Ubei shamai, it's like right, almost right in the middle. Ubei shamai nami, mivoyelei l'hachi. But ubei shamai, and ubei shamai nami also, mivoyelei l'hachi. Needs the pasuk for that. What's Bishamai? Bishamai is going to say that you're allowed to pick toothpicks off of your sach? It's not true. Halach lamaisa. Bishamai agrees that the sach is asr b'hana. So don't they have to use the pasuk for that? So the answer is, Einacharami, Einachinami. You're right. You win. You're right. Oh, really? So wait a minute. We're back to square one. How in the world does Bishamai say that you have to make your sach and your sukkah for the purpose of sukkahs? So why does Meshamai say it has to be L'shem Chag? Ksiv Karachrina. It's written in another Pasuk. So we've totally backtracked in everything we've said so far. Everything we said so far goes back to Beis Hillel. The idea that it's Asr Behana. Okay, so that's how Meshamai learns the Pasuk also. But there's another Pasuk. What's the other Pasuk? Chag Asukos Tasa L'chashiv Asyamim. A very similar Pasuk, which probably accounts for the confusion in the Gemara. It's a very similar pasuk. Chag HaSukkos, Halei HaSukkos, Tasa L'cha, It doesn't say Lashem now. Now it says Lecha. You should make for yourselves Shivas Yomim for 7 days. Chag HaSukkos Tasel Chishivas Yomim. Chag HaSukkos, you should make it for yourselves 7 days. It says Beis Shammai, Sukkah HaAsuya B'Shem Chag Bo'inon. The Chag HaSukkos has to be Lecha Shivas Yomim for the purpose of the Sukkah for 7 days. Now it's not talking about Lashem, where it could be like, you know, Asr Behano. It means for the purpose of the holiday. Ubeis Hillel. Oh, Beis Hillel is busted. What's Beis Hillel going to do with that? Ha-ho, that pasuk mevoile, they need it. The ois in sukkah b'chol shel moed. That you can make a sukkah on chol moed. Wait, so how do they read the pasuk? They read the pasuk as chag sukkah tasa lecha. You have to make sure you make yourself a sukkah. Shivas yamin. During those 7 days, at some point, if you don't have one, you've got the 7 days to do it. Make sure you got your sukkah during one of those 7 days. So even if you didn't build it right away, you can still build it on chol moed. Why in the world would you think you can't build your sukkah on chol moed? Ubei Shammai. Svir Elohu. Meaning, what's Beis Shammai going to do about that? Don't they also need it for that? To teach you can build your sukkah on chol moed? Svir Elohu and Rabbi Eliezer. They hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Domer, Ein Oisin Sukkah b'chol shel moed. You're not allowed to make a sukkah on chol moed. And the Gemara doesn't explain why. But it's from the same pasuk. Because it says you have to make a sukkah for how long?
7 days.
So what if it only lasts for 6 or 5 or 4 or 3 or 2 or 1? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not good enough. It has to be a sukkah for 7 days! So it comes out, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are mamish opposites on this. Beis Hillel learns that you have 7 days to do it. Beis Shammai leans, I have to be a sukkah for 7 days. So if you build it on Chol HaMoed, it's not a sukkah for 7 days. Because it ceases to be a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So it has to be a sukkah, a halachic sukkah, for 7 days. You have to build it in enough time that it becomes a sukkah on the first day of sukkahs, and it lasts for all 7 days. Interesting idea. Okay, so that's the Gemara. That's how we come to the discrepancy in our Mishnah, that Beis Shammai learns that this pasuk is telling you that it has to be for the purpose of sukkah. And Beis Hillel says, no, it comes to teach you nothing about that, that you can build it on Chol HaMoed. And Beis Shammai, well, they hold you taka can't. You cannot build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. That's how they hold. So they use this pasuk to teach you that it has to be built for the purpose of sukkahs. So now the Gemara has a kasha and deviates a little bit. Beis Hillel, leis lo Rav Yehuda amar rav. So are you suggesting, now that we've concluded, Beis Hillel holds the sukkah does not have to be l'shem chag. Does that mean that they don't hold of like l'shma? Things don't have to be for the purpose of the mitzvah? Because you know, Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. First he learned by Rav, and I guess when Rav died or whatever, he started to learn over by Shmuel. So we'll see in a minute, he's going to quote something that he learned from Rav, and he's going to present it to Shmuel, and Shmuel's going to have his comments on that. So Rav Yehuda said it in the name of Rav. Asa'ah, we're talking about tzitzis now. Talking about tzitzis. If a person made his tzitzis, mina kaitzin, mina nimen, mina grudin, psula. What are all of these things? All of these things are different approaches, and they've shown them exactly what they mean. The bottom line is that all of them are things that were not strings that were produced, or according to Rashi, were not put onto the garment for the purpose of tzitzis. So the way Rashi learns the Gemara is all of these things are strings that are hanging down from your clothes in one way or another. Either because it's just the material that you made the baguette out of, so once you finish weaving it, you got to cut off the extra strings, you know what I mean? Like you weave the material and then there's material left. So you got to do something about that at the end. You make like a seam or whatever you're going to make to stop the little strings at the end. Or maybe you sewed something on and there's some strings hanging down from whatever you sewed on. But whatever it is, the strings are there hanging down. Theoretically, you could just tie them into tzitzis. Psula, if you make tzitzis out of that, it's no good. Mina sisin kshera. Rashi learns that sisin means like a ball of yarn, a ball of string. It wasn't produced for the purpose of tzitzis. But it's not attached to the baguette yet. So because you're attaching them to the baguette, it's kasha. That's what Rav said. When Rabbi Huda said this halacha in front of Shmuel, meaning, what did he say? That these three things, according to Rashi, that are already attached to the baguette, those are no good. But if you're attaching it into the baguette, even though it wasn't produced for the purpose of tzitzis, those strings were not twined, whatever you call that. They weren't produced for the purpose of tzitzis. So as long as you put them in the hole for the purpose of tzitzis, it's good enough. So Shmuel was told that. So he said back to me, no way. If you put strings that were not made for the purpose of tzitzis into a beged and tied tzitzis out of that, that's also pasul. You require what's called tviya lishma. Tviya is the twining of the strings. Yeah? So that's why you go into like a store. Have you, who here has ever like just bought tzitzis not connected to a beged? Yeah? It has a hashkach on it, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to eat them. It's not spaghetti. Even though sometimes I see these kids, they put the tzitzis in their mouth. Spaghetti. Okay, but it's not spaghetti! So what do you need hashkacha for? So that's the answer. Because Shmuel says you need the tviya lishma. You can't just go to the store and buy a bunch of strings and tie tzitzis out of that. Shmuel says you need tviya lishma when they're twined or whatever the right... Is that the right word? Twine? I don't know, whatever you call that. When you take the strings and make them into one string, it has to be lishma. Hachanami nivai sukkah asuya lishma. So what's going on with Beis Hillel? So if the tzitzis have to be lishma, because it says gedilim taselecha, if the tzitzis have to be lishma, because it says gedilim fringes, taselecha, you have to make for you, has to be, you know, for the purpose of tzitzis. Isn't that the same thing it says? Chagos sukkos taselecha. Isn't that the same thing? Taselecha. It's the same place it's coming from. So Beis Hillel doesn't hold this? No! Shani Hassam, it's different over there. Right? Whenever you find the word there in the Gemara, it always means like the thing we're attacking with, right? It's whatever we brought in. When the Gemara says there as opposed to here. Here means what we started with. There means whatever you brought in. Shani Hassam, it's different over there by tzitzis. Damar kra, gedilim tasa l'cha. L'cha l'shem chayvcha. For you, you have to make it for your obligation. Right, but it says chagas sukkas. Right, isn't that the same thing? Hachanami! Here too! Chagasukas tasalacha! Lacha shim chayvcha! For you, for your obligation. What, that's not an answer. That's the question. Hahu mivayile. No. That we need it. Why? Lamudigzula. To exclude something that's stolen. A stolen sukkah. Stolen schach. Stolen sukkah. Apparently, if you build a sukkah out of stolen materials, that's no good. You're not yours, the sukkah. Hasam nami mivoy leilim udikzula. So by tzitzis also, so how come it doesn't exclude something that's stolen? We need it to exclude something stolen. Stolen tzitzis strings, stolen begamin. Hasam tzivkra achrina. No, because over there by tzitzis, it's written in another pasuk. V'asu lohem tzitzis. Vasulahem, Mishalahem. You have to make your tzitzis out of material that's yours. It can't be stolen material. So there's another pasuk, but here there is no other pasuk. So that means that whenever you find lecha, what's the default? In other words, if you find a pasuk that says tasa lecha, what's the default? That it has to be l'shem the mitzvah, or that it means it has to be yours? Pashup shat, has to be yours. But if you have a pasuk that says that already, you don't need to say it twice. So then the second thing a pasuk would mean if you have it already is that it has to be for your obligation. It has to be tasa lecha, meaning for the purpose of being yotzei the mitzvah. So that's why when it comes to sukkah, since you only have it once, it means yours. It has to be yours. It can't be stolen. But since you have a pasuk that says vasulahem, it has to be yours. So then when it says tasa lecha, it can't mean yours because we know that already. Well, then what does it mean? So then it means an additional layer. Then it means that it has to be for the purpose of your obligation. Good? So a lot of fascinating things over here. But just for your personal edification, let's do two things. First things first, I want to know, how do we pass in about this tzitzis thing? My strings actually have to be lishma, or that's like a lechachila, b'diavet? What's the story with the tzitzis strings having to be lishma? Is it machluk is rav and shmo? So how do we know? How do we pass on this? Who can tell me where to look? Where should I look to figure this out? Come on, somebody. Okay, so where are we going to go? So we want the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, right?
Yeah.
The Maseres HaShas means it tells you where it cross references in Shas. But on the other side of the page is Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, so you're on the right track. Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, there's a letter here. Where does the letter appear? You see where it says, Beis Hillel, Les Luz Rav Yudah Marav, Amar Rav Yudah Marav, and there's a Gimel. You guys see it? Asa mina kutz, mina nim, and it quotes the whole thing. So where's that Gimel? The Gimel is the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. So where am I going to look? So if you look in Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, this is Aleph Beis Gimel. So it says Maimon Perak Aleph Hechot Sitzes Lach Yir Aleph. That's Maimon means the Rambam. And then it says Smag the Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos Asin Tesvav. That means Asin Tesvav. And then it says Tur Shulchan Aruch Orachayim Simen Yir Aleph Sif Hey. So that's where we want to look because that's Halach Lamaisif for us. And the Shulchan Aruch Orachayim Yir Aleph Hey. So you don't remember handy dandy Mishnah Berurah and we go to Simen Yir Aleph. Yir Aleph Hey. Ein osin atzitzios mehatzemer hanechas v'kaitzim kishatzim roivtsim b'neihem. Right away you see that Shulchan Aruch is not passing like Rashi's interpretation of our Gemara. Rashi said that this is like strings that are attached to the beged. Other Rishonim learn differently, and that's what Shulchan Aruch learns. That kotzim means, you know, when the sheep are prancing around like sheep like to do, you know? So sometimes their wool gets caught in the thorn bushes and whatnot. So
literal thorns.
Yeah. So you're not allowed to make tzitzis from wool that got caught in like the thorns and stuff, and not mehanimin anidlashim mehabehima, or not like hairs that got somehow, you know, they fell off of an animal, or you know, leftover material from this and the other thing. The reason is because you can't make mitzvah. You don't. It's not nice. It's a bizayon to the mitzvah to make it out of that kind of shvacha stuff. Whoa, that's a little different than we were learning, no? So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Ein lahakshus." You shouldn't ask the question. The belavach yesh psul. What do you mean? Forget that it's a bizui mitzvah. It's just not nice. You don't make tzitzis out of like yucky stuff that just got separated from the sheep when it was prancing in the thorns. What do you mean? Hustle anyway, right? The lo nitvachut in the shem tzitzis. If you're going to use a thread that you find on a tree. Was it cut off of the animal or twined for the sake of tzitzis? No. Obviously not. So it's puzzle. Puzzle says a chavetz chaim. What is going on over here? Why does Shulchan Aruch say the problem is bizui mitzvah when there's a more fundamental problem? The problem is it's puzzle because it wasn't twined to shva. Yesh leimar. So you can say the following: Demayra filachi demitchila tavo achit l'shem tzitzis. You could have a case where it was originally made for the purpose of tzitzis, and the person decided he's gonna, you know, make like, you know, a piece of clothing out of it or something like that. Even that's no good out of bizui mitzvah. Okay, well that's only if you know you made it into a, you're using the leftover threads or something like that. But if it got ripped off because of the thorns, say from orakatz of a tami shum debin and haknaf min knaf. That the problem is that you need the species as your corners made out of. That these all are leftover strings then and what do you call it? They're materials that we would never build the whole make a whole beged out of. I can shine of him cane, culminate semer shame, gruin chain begin asamim, swilling citizens, the mission was according to that. You wouldn't be able to make tzitzis out of second-grade material ever. Anything you wouldn't normally make the beged out of. I don't know. So anyway, that's an interesting thing. But bottom line is, you see the Mishnah Berurah points out, at the end of the day, we do pass on Lishmuel, and that the bottom line is that all tzitzis have to be made Lishma, that the strings have to be twined for the purpose of the mitzvah. And it's just a question of how to explain, you know, why the Shulchan Aruch chose that particular presentation. But bottom line is that you have to get strings that are made for the purpose of tzitzis. So you really cannot just go to the store and get a bunch of strings and make tzitzis out of them. You actually have to get tzitzis that are made for the purpose of tzitzis. Another very interesting thing that comes up over here is a kasha that Tosfos asks. So let's move away from tzitzis a little bit for a second. Let's go back to sukkah. What's a stolen sukkah? What's an example of a stolen sukkah? Okay, so you could steal the schach, right? Or the walls, you know? One thing you can't really steal is the ground, you know? Ground's a little bit hard to steal. Decorations don't really matter at the end of the day. They could be stolen, right? But it's not going to make your sukkah a stolen sukkah.
Whatever's an integral part of the sukkah,
right?
Basically, if it's not yours, if you stole that, the like the materials that create integral parts of the sukkah.
So, does anybody want to try to think of a problem? The Gemara said, how do you know that a stolen sukkah is no good? You cannot be yotzei or mitzvah with a stolen sukkah. How do you know? What does the Gemara conclude? Because it says, chag ha-sukkah is ta'as halacha. It has to be yours. Your material can't be stolen. Are you allowed to sit in someone else's sukkah?
Yeah.
So, okay, so lacha doesn't mean it has to be yours.
Well, that it's your intention that you're going to have in mind that it's your sukkah. I mean, if you took somebody else's sukkah, it's not really yours.
I'm saying, but you could eat in someone else's sukkah, and you're yotze to someone else's sukkah, right? I'm saying, it doesn't have to be yours, though, I'm saying. What am I comparing it to? What has to be yours on sukkahs? What does have to be yours on the first day of sukkahs? Yeah, you're Arba Minim, right? How do you know? Lekachtem. Lachem, Biyom HaRishon. Has to be yours. Are you allowed to borrow it? The first day, you're not allowed to borrow it, right? It actually has to be yours. So by sukkah, that's apparently not true. Lecha, by sukkah, just means it can't be what? Stolen. But it doesn't actually have to be completely yours either, right? It just can't be stolen. So wait a minute. If you steal something and do a mitzvah with it, does that work?
No.
What do we call that? A mitzvah. Haba.
Haba
b'aveira. A mitzvah haba b'aveira. Are you yotzei mitzvahs that you things that you steal? There is the chiddush of the arba minim, the lulav, that has to be yours. Of course, you can't use a stolen one, right? Because not only is it not yours, but what? It's stolen with goods, and that's called a mitzvah hababa aveira. And there's a global principle that you cannot be yotzei a mitzvah with an object that's stolen. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to do this for me. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not allowed to steal. So you take something and Kadosh Baruch Hu said not to do, and you're going to do a mitzvah with it? Does that make any sense? Steal something to do a mitzvah? You with me, right? That's like totally counterintuitive. Like, it can't be. Like, that's absurd. You're going to approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu by stealing it? He told you not to steal. Sarah's a dipper. Okay, you just get that. But you're not allowed to steal. So you can't perform a mitzvah with a stolen object. You're not yotze. Because you're going against the Ratzon Hashem by stealing it. That's ABCs. So by lulav, you'll say what? You're right. This pasuk of lulav lakachtem lochem is not teaching you, I can't use a stolen lulav. That's obvious. It's a mitzvah baba vera. What's it teaching me? That it has to be mine. Meaning what? I can't even borrow it. You with me? So the pasuk by lulav is not teaching me that I cannot use a stolen lulav. That's obvious. That's called a mitzvah baba vera. The pasuk by lulav is teaching me what? It has to be mine, meaning?
What?
It has to be mamish mine, and I can't even borrow it.
Someone can give you a
gift. Yeah, because it's mine.
It's yours. Yeah.
Correct. Now let's transpose this whole conversation we just had back to sukkah. So the Torah says, Chag ha-sukkah is ta'as halacha. And we're learning now that the sukkah can't be what? Stolen. But it doesn't have to be yours, but what's the question then? Isn't that obvious? A stolen sukkah would be like a stolen lulav. What do we call that? A mitzvah? Hababa vera. So of course you can't be yotze in a sukkah that's stolen. Right? That's a mitzvah hababa vera. You can't do the Ratzon Hashem with a stolen object. Are you with me on the question? No? Again, think it through. Think it through. Start with lulav, because it's, you know, it's easy to think about.
You wouldn't have to say it.
The person shouldn't be telling you that. That everybody knows there's a mitzvah baba vera. You cannot do mitzvahs with stolen objects. Because Hashem says, I want you to do a mitzvah, and Hashem also says, I don't want you ever to steal. So you cannot steal and then do Hashem's mitzvahs. It doesn't work. It's a mitzvah baba vera. You're not yotzei the mitzvah. Because you're not doing the Ratzon Hashem. You're violating the Ratzon Hashem by stealing. Doesn't work like that. You can't be yotzei a mitzvah when you're stealing. Good? So by lulav, when it says ulakachtem lachem, it has to be yours. It's not, Torah is not coming to tell you you can't use a stolen lulav, because that's obvious. It's coming to tell you it has to be yours. You can't borrow it. It has to be yours. The problem is by sukkah, the Gemara is saying that Chag HaSukkah's Tasa L'cha is teaching you can't use a stolen sukkah. But that's a mitzvah. Of course you can. So shouldn't Beis Shammai win over here? Beis Hillel, what are you talking about? Right? We should have a whole domino effect, chain reaction, without going to the Gemara, what that would do to the Gemara for a minute. But just think about the question. Isn't that obvious? Of course you can't use a stolen sukkah. What's going on in this Gemara? Are we all together on the question? Famous question. Famous question. So, there are several answers to this. Tosfos by us. So he answers that the principle of mitzvah baba avera, even though I made it sound like it's like ABCs of Torah, is derabbanan. Then we'd have to go back to a whole conversation about lulav all over again, which we're not going to do. But Tosfos claims the principle, the problem of mitzvah baba avera is only derabbanan. So, because of that, if you go into a stolen sukkah, deraisa, you'd actually be yotze. Be derabbanan, it's mitzvah baba avera, but deraisa, you'd be yotze. So, no, not true. Torah comes out of a way to say by sukkah it's different. By sukkah, you're not yotze. Deraisa. That's Tosfos' answer. Other Rishonim answer that the only time we say mitzvah baba avera, see, I presented it in a certain way. I said you're going against the Ratzon Hashem because here you are stealing and then trying to say Hashem, oh, here I'm giving you what you want. But you stole it. I don't want you to do that. Oh, but here's what you want. So, not exactly. It means to say that if something is supposed to be appeasing to Hashem, you want to bring a korban because you did something wrong. You're bringing a korban to Hashem because you messed up. And you steal the animal. So you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I forgive you? So certainly Shonim say that's when it applies. Mitzvah Baba Avera applies when you want to go ahead and appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can't steal it to appease him. That doesn't work. But if it's a regular mitzvah that's not like an appeasement type of thing, so then maybe there's a derabbanan, but certainly not deraisa. I want to share with you an idea. This is a little hard to understand, so you're gonna help me out with this one. There's also a famous approach of the Minchas Chinuch. Are you ready for this? I know this is Be'iyun, right? We're doing Be'iyun today. Adam, is that right? So, the Minchas Chinuch has a very interesting approach to this. He says like this. There's something called a bittul of a mitzvah asay. Bittul of a mitzvah asay. And there's something called not fulfilling the mitzvah asay. So we'll use tzitzis. That's what we're talking about also. Sukkah and tzitzis are come together. So tzitzis, for example. Is there an obligation to go ahead and purchase a four-corner garment so that you can put tzitzis on it? Technically not. No, we do it because we want to be good Jews. We want to fulfill mitzvahs, and it's easy, you know. So we do that. We want to make sure we're always doing mitzvahs and like tzitzis, you know. The Gemara says that when a Kaddish Baruch Hu gets upset at Klal Yisrael, so then he says, you know, and then there are even more tzitzis. Like, how hard could that be? A few dollars, and you wear this thing under your clothes. They don't even do that. So he gets like extra upset at us if we don't wear tzitzis because it's so easy. Okay, but technically speaking, there's no obligation. If a person insists he wants to wear a four-corner garment, so then he's obligated to put tzitzis on it if he wants to wear it. But if he doesn't want to wear it, he doesn't have to. Good? So when is a person mevatel the mitzvah of tzitzis? By going his whole life and not wearing it? No. By doing what? By putting on, finish the sentence, a four-corner garment, but refusing to put on tzitzis. That's how you're mevatel the mitzvah. But if he decides never to wear a four-corner garment, he's not being mevatel the mitzvah of tzitzis. He's just not being mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. Are you with me? Yeah, we're good? Sukkah has two components. There is an obligation element of sukkah, but it's only the first night. What happens if it rains the first night? Everybody knows this, right? If it rains, the first night of Sukkot, so you got to make Kiddush and Hamotzi like in the Sukkah, right? Why? Because the first night we're obligated to eat in the Sukkah. Technically speaking, do you have to spend any other time in the Sukkah on Sukkot? Technically not. If a person wants to go on vacation and he's totally away from home and he's not obligated in Sukkah technically because you're allowed to go away, so technically he's exempt from Sukkah, you know?
But don't you have to eat in the Sukkah?
If a person wants to eat snack foods the entire Sukkah, so he's not really obligated in Sukkah because he's eating snack foods the entire time. Now, Yom Tov, you're supposed to have a Suda, so okay. But the bottom line is, the only real requirement you have to eat in a Sukkah is the first night. The rest of the time, it's really comparable to Tzitzis. That's what Minchas Chinuch points out. So when is a person mevatel the mitzvah of Sukkah? When is he mevatel the mitzvah of Sukkah? When he doesn't go into Sukkah? When he eats a snack outside of Sukkah?
He can't.
When he eats a meal that he's chayav to eat in a Sukkah, but refuses to do it in a Sukkah. Right? There's certain things you have to do in a Sukkah. So if he refuses to do those things in the Sukkah, he's mevatel the mitzvah of Sukkah. But he doesn't have to eat a meal with bread. He could have snacks the entire time. He could eat meat. He could be on a no-carb diet the entire time. And he's not chayav in Sukkah. See, I'm about to win. Okay, good? That's easy. Says the Menachas Chinuch, if a person does a mitzvah haba ba'aver, he steals the Sukkah. Steals someone else's Sukkah. However you do that. Steals the materials, whatever. Steals a Sukkah. And he eats it. Is he mevatel the mitzvah of Sukkah? So he claims that if you're doing a mitzvah, Hashem says, I want you to do this. I want you to, you know, shake lulav. And a guy steals a lulav. And he says, aha, Hashem, you want me to shake lulav? Ha, 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 yeah. Stole a lulav. Hashem says, I don't want that. I told you not to steal. But if Hashem never asked you to do it, you're doing the mitzvah on your own. So then you're not really going against the ratzon Hashem by stealing it. If Hashem says, I want you to do this, and you steal to do it, so you're going against the ratzon Hashem because you're doing what Hashem specifically asked of you with a stolen item. But if Hashem says, you don't have to do it, you don't have to do it. But you decide you want to do it. With a stolen object. So he claims that's not a mitzvah haba ba'avera. Or if it is a mitzvah haba ba'avera, so then it actually doesn't destroy what you did.
But it's
still stolen. It's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. You stole the mitzvah. How could you do it? But he says like this. If you steal, I'm not sure I'm saying that. I think I said it wrong just now. It is a mitzvah haba ba'avera. It is a mitzvah haba ba'avera. But the difference is that when Hashem tells you the first night of Sukkot, you have to eat in a Sukkah, you have to do this mitzvah Sukkah, and you do it in an Avera fashion, when you stole your Sukkah, and you're not yours. But the rest of Sukkot, Hashem never said you have to eat in a Sukkah. So if you steal your Sukkah, you're right, you're doing a mitzvah above Avera, but you can't be said to be eating outside the Sukkah. You're not outside the Sukkah. You're not mevatel the mitzvah because you didn't have to do it in the first place. Let's think this through. That's what he says. Think this through. When you have to eat in the Sukkah and you do a mitzvah and you stole the Sukkah, you're mevatel the mitzvah. You're it's like eating outside the Sukkah. But on the rest of the Sukkah, when Hashem never said you have to eat in the Sukkah, it's up to you. So at the end of the day, you're in a Sukkah, Minnesota, but it's stolen. It's a mitzvah of Baba Avera. But Hashem never said you have to. So because of that, he says you're not mevatel the mitzvah. You're still eating in a Sukkah.
It's not preventing anyone else also from doing mitzvah at that time.
Yeah, that's also true. But he says if a person steals tzitzis and he puts them on, so Hashem never said you have to wear tzitzis anyway. So if you went ahead and you stole that, you know what? You're not yotzei the mitzvah. You're right. You're not yotzei the mitzvah of tzitzis because they're stolen. It's a mitzvah above avera. You're not yotzei the mitzvah. But did you put on a four-corner garment without tzitzis?
No.
At the end of the day, he's wearing tzitzis. sukkah. He stole the sukkah. He's not yotze the mitzvah. He's not yotze the mitzvah because he stole it. Was he eating outside the sukkah? No, he's in the sukkah. So that's how the Menachas Chinuch looks at it. He says, generally speaking, if there's a mitzvah that's a chiyuv, so then you're going to be mevatel. If Hashem said you have to eat in the sukkah, so what the mitzvah Baba Avera does is it ejects you from the sukkah. Because you're going against the Ratzon Hashem in what you're doing. But when Hashem didn't specifically tell you to do it, so the mitzvah Baba Avera may eliminate the mitzvah element, but it doesn't make you do an Avera. It doesn't mean you're now eating outside the sukkah for the rest of the other 6 days of sukkahs. It's a very hard idea to wrap your head around, but, you know, think about it over today or something like that. There's a difference between a mitzvah b'avera when there's a chiyuv and a mitzvah b'avera when it's an option. A mitzvah b'avera when it's a chiyuv is that you're actually doing an avera. It eliminates the sukkah and the obligation to eat, you're like outside the sukkah now. But when it's optional in the first place, so it eliminates the mitzvah, but it doesn't kick you out of the physical structure of the sukkah. That's what he claims. So you're not mevatel the mitzvah when you eat in the sukkah.
So he's saying that you still are doing the mitzvah, but you're also doing the avera at the same time. Is that what he's saying? Or
the first night.
I'm saying for after the first day.
After the first day, you're just not makayim your mitzvah sukkah. You don't get a mitzvah because it's a mitzvah of avera.
Okay, but then.
But you're not doing avera. You're not considered eating outside the sukkah. You're eating bread. You're technically chayav to eat that bread in a sukkah. More like a zayas of bread. You have to eat it in a sukkah. But you're in a sukkah. But it's a mitzvah of avera. Okay, so then you don't get your mitzvah. But you don't get the avera of eating outside the sukkah. You're not mevatel the mitzvah. You don't get an avera of eating outside the sukkah.
But you still get an avera for stealing, no?
Yeah, sure.
Right. So, I mean, either way, you still end up with an avera.
Yeah. It's just stealing, you can't get around. But he's stealing, that's for sure.
But because of the avera, it cancels out the mitzvah. But it actually happens for all the days.
Right. Not only does it cancel out the mitzvah, but because you have to eat it in the sukkah, it makes you considered to be eating outside the sukkah.
So the first day, you'd still be chayav.
The first day, you'd be doing a double avera, not just stealing, but also eating outside the sukkah. You're mevatel the mitzvah.
Okay, and then for the rest, I mean, you're not chayav because there's nothing requiring you to do it. So then, what are you benefiting from doing it?
You're not, right. You don't end up with an avera, he's claiming, because the mitzvah avera just eliminates the mitzvah, and you didn't have to do it in the first place.
Right.
Since you didn't have to do it, so you're not considered to be mevatel a mitzvah. I don't know, it's a very interesting sfer. A lot of people talk about this, Menachas Chinuch, so I figured I would present it to you.
So why would anyone want to steal a sukkah after the first day, and the first day, you understand, okay, like, if someone did it, then, okay, so clearly, you know, it wouldn't work, nothing, right? But then after that, if you're not high in the first place, why would someone want to steal a sukkah after?
Why would a person do that? I don't know, a million of these other people do all kinds of things. Whatever the reason a person did it, the question is,
the first day, you think that, okay, people feel like, okay, you're hired to eat a sukkah, so we'll steal a sukkah, so okay, see, now I'm eating a sukkah. And then you find out, no, it didn't really work. But after that, I mean, if you're not chayav, why is someone going to steal a sukkah?
Well, he thinks he's going to be yotze the mitzvah, you know. The question, but it's a mitzvah of avera. He's trying to fulfill the mitzvah, you know, whatever the case
is. No, the mitzvah is only for the first day. So that's why I don't understand. Because you're saying you're not chayav, but there's still a mitzvah of eating a sukkah after.
All 6 days, a person's supposed to eat and sleep and be mitayel, hang out, like, you're supposed to do everything in the sukkah.
Right, so there's still a mitzvah involved, it's just you're not chayav to do it. It's
you can right. Get out of it in a million ways.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's an interesting thought process of the Menachas Chinuch. Okay, so those are some areas on the daf. what any interesting shilohs come up over Sukkot? Anyway, anything interesting that came up?
Thank God, no.
No, nothing? What were some interesting things that came up? I had a boy that asked me, he said he got a gift card from his teacher for the Toys R Us. A gift card, $18, whatever it was, right? So what's his question? Anybody want to take a guess? Do I have to give Meister? Do you have to give Meister if someone gives you a gift card?
No, because it didn't work for you. Usually it's the money that you make and you have to separate a part of that.
You're saying you want to say the income is limited to money you worked for?
Well, yeah, if you were getting it as a gift, the gift is from somebody else, and I assume that they had hopefully put Meister for what they made, and a part of that...
But now you made it.
No, but you're getting it as a gift. You're not actually making any income from it. Like, that's not...
So if you get paid with money from your boss that he took Meister from, you don't have to separate Meister. If you get paid by your boss with money that he took Meister from, you don't have to give Meister.
Say that again?
You get paid, your paycheck.
Right.
It's from your boss.
Where'd
he get the money from? From his bank account, right? So he took Meister from that money.
How does Meister work then?
It's the answer. It's income, right? Your income. Your income.
Even as a gift?
Okay, so that's the question. So this is a significant machlokes aposkim. And most svarim seems to say that the assumption is you do have to give ma'aser from gifts. But since I'm a Talmud Rav Kahn, I can tell you that Rav Kahn assumes, Rav Kahn learns that most cases of gifts, the person is giving you the present because they want you to use this for the present. Like they're giving you a certain amount. And the reason they're giving you that amount is because they're assuming you're not taking ma'aser from it. You're going to use this. So when a person, you ready for this, it's a huge kula. When a person gets bar mitzvah presents, wedding presents, people get lots of money. So Rav Kahn says, Mi'ikar hadin, one does not have to separate Meiser from that. Nothing wrong with it. You know, if one person wants to get stuck, that's a great zechus. But technically, any gift, even if it's financial, it's similar to what you were saying. Even if it's financial, but the reason is because the person that's giving you the gift wants you to have the gift. If a person actually gives you a gift, gives you money, right? And he says, I do not want you to give Meiser. I want you to use this to buy yourself a present. So then you don't give Meiser for sure. He's just saying that every gift is like that. Because a person's giving a certain amount because they want you to have this money for you to use it for whatever you're going to use it for. So therefore he thinks, Amikra Adin, all gifts, including financial gifts, are exempt from the Bichi of Meiser. It's crazy, right? It's a big kula. Yeah. Right, so a person when he gives Meister, sort of like at the beginning of his Meister career, when he starts to make money, so a person should actually make a declaration where he says, I'm not only going to give my Meister for tzedakah, I'm going to give it also for mitzvah purposes, and things like that. A person should definitely do that when he starts to separate Meister, otherwise it could become a form of neder, right? We say we do things three times, it becomes like a neder, that's one of the things we matir neder for an Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? That if you do things three times, so... So one of those things is if a person is makbid always to give ma'aser to tzedakah. But the truth is, it's perhaps we should discuss another time because it's a real good topic. What is the I don't use a bad word, but the totem pole. Like what is the hierarchy of things you're supposed to give ma'aser for? Because the truth is, support Torah and yeshivas is probably on the tippy top of all of that. The question is, where do shuls fall into all of that? And what about, aniyim? So obviously, if you're confronted with an ani and he needs the money, for life, that's a different story. You gotta make sure that the guy has food and whatnot on the table. This year, my shul, in the past, what we've done for the last few years, we always just raise money for my discretionary fund. So whenever there's needs that come up in the community, so that's what it usually goes to. We want to keep it, replenished. But replenished, whatever the right word is. But this year, there's everyone of Beitar Elite, right? You guys have been there, Beitar? No? Yeah, you've been there? So apparently, it's a lot of people that live there don't have a lot of money because it's like close enough to Yerushalayim, but not in Yerushalayim, it's cheaper there. And so there are a lot of people that really need a lot of things over there. So Ronnie Schwartz, if you remember him from being in Pomona, say his sister-in-law, She's very involved with the Zvig Tzadik and Chassidi, and together they really take care of a lot of people that really, 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 really need it. So that was what we did this year, that we raised money specifically for Beitar. But it, you know, it's these situations where people don't have, you know, they don't have a refrigerator. A woman didn't have a refrigerator. Can you believe it? She said, whatever food was left at the end of the day, and we don't have a lot of money, and we don't have a lot of food, whatever food was left at the end of the day, you know, it just spoiled because I couldn't put it in a refrigerator. So they, you know, were able to buy her a refrigerator. And like, you know, crazy, crazy stories. You wouldn't believe it. We're so rich, you know, we're so incredibly rich. But that was one interesting shaila that came up about the gifts. It always happens, and it seems to always happen by a specific person, that the schach seems to blow away from the roof, or blow away from the walls. So what happens with schach that gets moved? We just finished talking about schach as huksel mitvasa. Schach is a form of muksa. So the truth is, you can't move your schach on Yom Tov. Cholamoid, you know, certainly according to Beisil, you're allowed to build a sukkah, right? So in Cholamoid, you're allowed to fix things and do whatever you need to do. But on Yom Tov, the schach itself is muksa. So the truth is, you got a big problem if your schach moves enough away from your walls that you don't have a kasher three walls. You really have a serious problem. So you probably have to get a goy to kind of like put things back in place for you, you know? Yeah?
Where did the custom kol na'arim with the children under the house start? Where did it come from? And then saying hamalacha.
And what?
And saying hamalacha go. Was that just something that came out as not halachic or...
I don't know. I don't know the background to culinary. It's a good question. Where did all that come from? We have a particular problem in Mishpul and Aliyahs in general. We have a lot of Kohanim, no Levim. So it's an interesting question. What do you do in terms of the Aliyahs? How come the Kohen gets the first Aliyah anyway? It's all Darkei Shalom. It's all Darkei Shalom.
What?
Why does the Kohen get the first Aliyah?
Why do they have respect?
Yeah. Make sure there aren't fights. You know, the Kohen always goes first. There is a pasuk that says, V'kidashtoy. You know what I'm talking about? V'kidashtoy is lechem elekecha u'makriv. That the Kohen, because he's the one that's in charge of bringing the korbanos, you're supposed to have him go first. Certainly any davar shabbi kedusha, whenever something that's a holy endeavor, he's supposed to go first. Some even want to say, maybe if it's not a holy endeavor, if you got a business meeting and the guy's a Kohen, there's some that say the Kohen should speak first, should go first at the, you know, at the meeting. But others say it's only specific, you know, when it comes to Dvar Shabbik Dusha. Dvar Shabbik Dusha, the Kohen goes first, Ladafka and everything else. But it's, you know, it's interesting. Very interesting stuff. What else? I don't remember. All right, so just finish with this. This month, you'll notice, did anybody say Tachanun yesterday, Mencha? What about this morning? Did anybody say Tachanun this morning?
They were very confused whether to daven Tachanun.
Where were you?
I was in
the
555 minion, and everybody was kind of like confused, like, oh, wait, Tachanun or Tachanun? It took like 5 minutes for them to really like decide, oh, everybody's going to put their head down. So were we supposed to say Tachanun?
Okay, so it's like this. Everyone agrees, Nisan, you don't say Tachanun the whole month. And the rationale seems to be, because most of the month has gone by without Tachanun. Because the beginning of the month, if you remember, we don't say Tachanun because that was when the Mishkan was built. And then Pesach starts, you know, and then like, so we're not saying Tachanun like the whole time. So then after that, we just finish the month without say Tachanun. Once the, you know, most of the month is already no Tachanun, it's like a celebratory month, no Tachanun. Question is, what about Tishrei? Tishrei, so you got a couple of days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shabbos doesn't count. You got the 4 days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, you don't say Tachanun, because they're considered to be these celebratory days. And then you have 9 days in Chutz La'aretz of Sukkot Shemini Atzeres. So you add it all together, it's more than most of the month. Did you guys say Tachanun in Atzeres Meitshuva? Yeah, the whole world says Tachanun in Atzeres Meitshuva, right? So it's not like Nisan. Nisan, you go, there's no Tachanun. Then when you find, oh, it's time to say Tachanun. No, we haven't said the whole month, we're not saying the rest of the month. Tishrei is different, because it's true that most of the days we don't, but it's not like the whole month we didn't, and now the question is, how do we finish it off? So there's a difference between Tishrei and Nisan. So because of that, it's a machlokas and minhagim. Most of the world, most of the shuls of the world, do not say Tachanun all of Tishrei, because most of the month we don't say Tachanun. Well, then why didn't we say it in Seres Mechuvah? Because you have to say, because there's a Jew, you have to come up with a reason. But because of that also, the yeshivas, most of the yeshivas, do say tachanun. Because what do you mean? It's not like we went through most of the month in a celebratory. It's not true. It's not true. It's not because most of the month. No, it's because the whole month so far was celebratory. And Nisan's not like Tishrei. So because of that, in YU, you will notice, in Minyam and YU, they will say tachanun. Tishrei. But even YU won't say tachanun in Nisan. But that's the reason. The reason is because does it go by simply most of the month? Or is it because by the whole month we've had so far? And now how the question is to finish it off. So it's an interesting thing. All right. Hatzlacha, everybody. Oh, does anybody have any answers for me?